Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. As the mother of two teenage boys, when they were first born, I would get all these baby books because I didn't know how to take care of kids. It's like, you know, here's what you do. What if they have colic? But then when they turned into teenagers, it got a little more difficult because they had their own minds.
Sure.
And they could make decisions on their own. So I found this website, Grown and Flown, and have been reading it ever since. And one of the co-founders of Grown and Flown is on the line with us right now. This is Lisa Heffernan. How are you, Lisa?
Great, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Now, this basically, this is not a mommy blog per se. It is about kids, what, about ages 15 to 25?
Exactly. It's about all those transitions our kids make when they're finishing their childhood years and transitioning into their adult years. And, you know, it's about a lot of complex issues from financial aid in college to kids getting their first job to some of the risks they run in college with drinking and drugs and sexual assault and some of the things we parents worry about. And it's also about a lot of the joys that we experience in these years.
Just saw you on the Today Show with Hoda and Kathy Lee.
So fun. So fun.
Be honest. There's alcohol bottles under the chairs when you're on there, isn't there? There is,
you know,
right?
What? We were on the couch.
So there, oh, you were?
Right. Yeah, they've got different sets. It's actually a shockingly small space with a number of different sets. So we were on the couch, so there was no wine.
All right.
Because it's funny, you were discussing going away to college and drinking, and Bill's like looking at going, wait
there's
a
more
minute.
Drinking going on that show than there is on most college campuses.
All right. Now, I know that a lot of kids are going back to school, and Bill, you've already been through this with your girls. My son Michael was going to go to Belmont University in Nashville, and I have to be honest with you, they did not come through with very much scholarship money, despite his pretty great score on his ACT. I was very disappointed, and then the more we talked, I didn't feel he was ready to go 7 hours away from home. Lisa, he was very mad at me at first, but we went to our community college, College of DuPage. We did the orientation day, and he says, you know what? I think this is the right choice. So thank God. But he was very mad at me for not pulling the trigger. A lot of his friends are going away to school. This is the time. Everybody's starting college.
Yeah. It's, you know, community college is such a fantastic move for so many kids, either because they're not ready, because their families need this to do this financially, or because they just don't even know what they want to do yet. A lot of kids more and more in the U.S. are taking a gap year because of that. They're spending that year between high school and college working, doing some sort of job, just trying to find their feet. Our kids can still be very young and perhaps not ready for college. It's a really good move for them not to go away when they're not ready.
Lisa, explain this to me. We brought up gap years with you a couple of visits ago because my daughter Kylie took a year off for a gap year. When I was a kid, if that was an option, I would have taken the gap year and extended that into two or three or four or five gap years. What's in it for a kid to just take that break? Explain.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you think you would have taken it, but, you know, the kinds of jobs you can get with just a high school degree may have whet your appetite for more education and a better job and you know, something that might interest you more. There's a couple of reasons for it. One is just from growing up. Sometimes growing up just takes time, and sometimes these kids are 17 years old. I know one of my kids graduated from high school. He was still 17 years old. It's very young. So there's just a little bit of time for growing up, a little bit of pressure off. Sometimes kids haven't gotten the scores that they want, so it's a chance to get the scores you want and apply again. Sometimes kids benefit with just taking one or two classes in a community college while working and easing into college because maybe their study skills weren't everything they could have been in high school, and it's a chance now at the age of 18 to learn those study skills. And finally, it's a chance to figure out what you're interested in, do a little exploring in the world, and then start college with a clearer idea of where you want to go with your job and with your career.
I understand, in a sense, like your daughter went to Costa Rica and she had this amazing experience and that she grew as a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
But some kids, the gap year just means, oh, I'm going to play video games. I don't understand how they can turn a corner and then go, you know what? I want to go back to school.
Well, you know, I think if they're still living in our homes, parents can set some of those rules. So video games are probably not the activity of choice except for after work hours. I think parents need to say you're either going on an experience, you're either going on community service, or you're going and doing a job. Kids can get jobs. They can get full-time jobs when they're out of school and high school. Millions of kids do it, you know, all over the country. College isn't what every child does. So I think parents need to lay down the law on some of that.
All right, with college starting, we want to ask you about some of the conversations that we should have with our kids before they go away to school. Why don't you start on that one?
Sure. This is a really, really important moment, and we don't want to miss it. This is like weddings and graduations. This is one of the big moments in life, and what we say has a lot of weight with the kids. And we've talked to thousands and thousands of parents about what some important things to talk about with kids, either as they're leaving or just in the days running up to their leaving. And one of them is talk about how lucky they are and how fortunate they are. That gratitude conversation, we've probably been having them with them for 18 years. Any kid who's going to college this fall is lucky. It's an enormous opportunity. You know, they've had great education to get there, and they just need to be thankful for the gift that they're getting. One of the things that research shows us is that we feel that they're not listening to us. They roll their eyes at us. They stare at their phones. You know, they give us that kind of blank 18-year-old stare where you think nothing's getting through. We are getting through. Our messages are very clear, and we need to keep talking to them.
Don't you believe? I mean, I just know thinking back to things I used to do. My mom used to drive me nuts. We used to fight a lot. But really, when push came to shove, she's the only one that I didn't want to disappoint.
Yep. You may have fought. You may have said, I'm not listening. I swear, I almost put my fingers in my ears when my mother spoke at that age. But they hear us. We heard our parents. You can still remember that you heard your mother, and our children can hear us. So really, really important discussions around binge drinking and the very, very real dangers to them. This is one of the most dangerous things kids are engaging in college, and they don't really understand the physical effects and the psychological effects of it. Sexual misconduct, as we all have read, it is rampant on college campuses, whether it's your son or your daughter. You need to talk to them about the very real risks and how to protect their safety and what to do if somebody gets harmed, if it's a friend or themselves. You know, what do you do with that 2 a.m. phone call? So we need to talk to them about drug use. Again, the drugs that are on college campuses now are much more dangerous than the drugs that were on campuses 20 or 30 years ago. And if we don't have those conversations with them, who's going to?
My wife had a very specific conversation with both of our daughters about essentially that, just saying, don't drink something that you didn't see prepared out of a bottle or a tap or something, because there's always that chance that somebody could have slipped something in there, and then that doesn't end well.
That's great advice when you said that on the air. And also, I think you said never leave your drink unattended.
Ever. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
God, we never had to worry about that.
Nope, but our kids do, and they need to hear it from us. And, you know, they don't need to just hear it once. They need to hear it again. We send these little reminders, send texts, bring it up in conversations. You know, my kids at one point just, Mom, we've heard this. Until they push back, until you're sure that message is through, you really can't say some of these things too often.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then there's more to discuss. If you want to jump in, why not? 312-981-7200 is our number. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Back to school already. I know that if you have college kids and they're going away to school, they're probably leaving now or have left already. And to help us get through all this is Lisa Heffernan, one of the co-founders of Grown and Flown. You can go to grownandflown.com. And I just want to mention that your website is also helpful for parents of high schoolers as well. It's not just college-age students.
Yes, we're covering ages 15 to 25, so that high school experience, college experience, and just out of college experience, and for kids who aren't going to college and are going on to other things that kids go on to after high school.
Bill has told me this story before about he knew a friend's child who got a perfect ACT score. You finish it.
Well, they had two schools they wanted to go to, and even with a perfect ACT score, she didn't get into either of those two schools, which is very alarming.
Because
to me.
You don't meet the quota, and I just find that to be, like, what makes you want to achieve greatness then as a student if you can't get into, like, your number one choice with great grades? Didn't she have perfect, straight A's
she
and everything?
Everything right, yeah.
It's very difficult. College admissions, as, you know, everyone reads in the papers, is getting more and more competitive. The nice thing, actually, is that the years, we've gone through the biggest birth years. The biggest birth years were kids who were born in the mid-90s. So actually, we're on the downslope. And there is some drop-off in the number of applications going to colleges right now as we go into the birth years of kids born in the 21st century.
What's causing that, the drop-off?
Because there were fewer people born in the 80s, and they're the ones having kids now. It's the end of all the baby boomers' children, and that's a large generation. It's just a demographic thing. So there's a slight drop-off. But it's very frustrating, and kids do need to apply to a number of colleges to make sure that they get in, because it's really, for almost any college, it's a bit of a gamble.
I remember, Bill, when your daughters went away to school, you were a mess.
Yeah.
You really were.
I'm already a mess. Kylie's leaving a week from Wednesday, and I'm already a mess.
Is it a little less of a mess than when she first went away?
No. You'd think it would be, wouldn't you? But it's not.
I have a senior leaving tomorrow. I have a college senior leaving tomorrow, and I was just trying to think, I got this. I've done this. He's gone away 3 years, and it's haunting me.
Right. It's still really difficult.
See, and that makes me feel guilty that I'm lucky enough to have a kid who's not going away. I see everybody's posts on Facebook like, oh, this is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that he's not going away. I talked to one of his friends who is going away yesterday and said, are you excited about school? He's going to Mizzou. And he said, yes. And I said, are you a little nervous too? And he goes, well, of course. This freshman year going away for the first time ever is pretty frightening.
It is, Wendy, and you really hit on a good point. Everyone's looking at everyone's Instagram feeds and their Facebook feeds and whatever else, like Snapchat feeds that our kids are looking at, and seeing parties and fun, and as if freshman year is just one long, joyful experience. Most kids have a period of transition. For some kids, it's a week or a month. Some kids, it's the whole first semester or even the first year before they've really found their feet, found their friends, found their interests. It's really important to send your kid off with accurate expectations. Don't tell them they're going to, you know, show up the first weekend. It's going to be great, and they're going to love it. Tell them that, you know, you may have a rough patch. We're here. Call us. Text us. You know, reach out to your high school friends. Try and set some realistic expectations so that they're not let down and they're not crying. And, you know, you haven't all the. You may get some homesick calls, but at least if their expectations are realistic, you'll be able to talk them down off that ledge.
Lisa, how do you realize what is and isn't too much contact with your child once they've gone away to college? Like, I wanted it to play out on its own and just determine how often I called either of them or texted either of them.
What'd you call every hour?
Every
for
couple
the first
hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours. So,
there's a lot of texting, as you know, that goes on with this generation. You know, a lot of experts say, you know, let them reach out, let them set the tone. I'm not really in favor of that, and there are a lot of experts who line up on the other side. You need to be there for them for those first couple weeks. This is a risky time in terms of their drinking. They may have not done much drinking in high school, and now they're going to be exposed to it. It is one of the riskiest times in terms of sexual assault, the first year or two of college. So, and also risks of depression and anxiety. So it's important to keep in contact with them. Sometimes it's just a little text that says, you okay, everything okay? Giving them that opportunity to come to you in case they're worried about something, they're anxious, just keeping in touch. So that you're the only one who's going to know whether they have a problem in those first weeks, because the people that they're surrounded by aren't really their friends. They're really their acquaintance. Hopefully they'll become their friends, but they don't know them well enough to know if something's wrong. So I urge parents not to keep an hourly contact, but just every day or so, just to check in and make sure that it's all going okay for those first weeks or months.
Lisa, I created an emoji that I would send them of a sad-looking dad looking at an empty bedroom. Is that okay? I hope it is.
Perfectly fine.
All right.
All right. And, you know, I know you're not a psychologist, but you have been dealing with the website Grown and Flown, and you come across a lot of articles, so I'm going to ask you this. When do you decide if it's time to let your child come home? I know two separate situations. One, by semester's end, the kid was absolutely miserable, and the parents said, you're going to have to finish school, and it ended up badly. He hated it. Another friend, she was ready to come home at the semester. The parents said, I think you should finish the year. She now loves it and is back at school. When do you decide that it's time that maybe your kid should come home?
That's a very, very difficult question because obviously, as you just pointed out, it depends on each individual kid. If your kid is in a lot of pain, if you think your kid is at risk for depression or undue anxiety, and it sounds like in that first case that's what the parents were facing, you need to start thinking about Plan B because college is extremely stressful. UCLA does a survey of freshmen every single year, and the one thing that they note is that the risks of anxiety and stress and depression are rising in freshmen. So we don't want to put our kids in that vulnerable situation if we feel they can't handle it. One thing to do, though, is have them see somebody professionally. So if they've come home for Thanksgiving and they're very anxious, or they come home for college and you feel like, and they're saying, I don't want to go back, have them see somebody. Have them see somebody who's a professional, who understands the risks, who can speak to them in a way that you as a parent who are so emotionally involved can't, and maybe get some analysis done that way.
Lisa, I want to throw a scenario at you that I thought was a little extreme, but it kind of makes sense. A friend of mine did this. He met his son's college roommate, and he gave him his phone number. And he said, look, this is just between me and you.
Yep.
If anything weird is going on with my kid, call this number. This is me. I want to know anything. Are you approve of that or not approve of that?
I'm not a big fan of going behind your kid's back, because you're suggesting that you don't trust your kid. And
yeah.
we need to trust our kids. I don't think, however, there's anything wrong with having extra phone numbers. Look, my kid just jumped into water with his phone, so now he doesn't have one.
Oh.
So it's not a bad thing if you've got your kid's college roommate's phone for that night that it's either dead, there's something that's happening in your family, there's a reason you need to get in touch with them, or if the roommate is concerned about your child's health.
Look, yeah.
Freshmen get sick. They get really sick. They wind up in the infirmaries. It's nothing wrong with the roommate having a phone number and saying, you know, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I've just walked him over to the infirmary. They're checking him out. You know, you just might want to know.
Yeah.
So sharing those phone numbers, nothing wrong with that. But going behind your kid's back.
That's a little much. Yeah.
So what? Just do it right in front of them. And as you meet the roommate, just say, listen, I want to give you my number in case of an emergency. Perhaps, you know, you could give me yours. I won't use it, but this is for extreme emergencies. Is that the right way?
Exactly. If someone's sick, if the phone is dead, if they need to reach you, hopefully it will never happen. But as we all know, life happens.
Sure.
It's not bad to have it. But letting your kid know that you're going to make that contact. I've never done it myself. I know I've got a parent group of 35,000 parents, and this has been discussed in our group. Many parents do it. Many parents don't do it. But being above board, I think, is what's important.
GrownAndFlown.com. Please tool around, see whatever they have to offer, because I'm guaranteeing you will find something that will help you along the way. Lisa Heffernan, one of the co-founders, GrownAndFlown.com. Thank you so much. Good luck with your senior going back to school.